You know, I was thinking just the other day that the one thing this world needs is for a multinational corporation and the government to stretch an oil pipeline across what remains of recognized Native American lands, because European originating hierarchs haven't done enough to destroy indigenous people. Not. The Army Corps of Engineers, not to be confused with General Custer's cavalry, notified the Standing Rock Sioux tribe of its intentions to close all lands north of the Cannonball River, so that anyone beyond the Army's designated free speech zone will be subject to forcible removal and prosecution. Unicorn Riot reports that police have resorted to use of rubber bullets, tear gas, and water cannons, injuring more than 160 protesters, including Sophia Walansky, who is in risk of losing her arm. Others have been arrested on trumped-up charges, like Red Fawn, whose bail has been set at $110,000 for shots that were fired while she was provably pinned to the ground. Have I ever mentioned that the fascist police state is ruthless and unreasonable? Well, it is. The New York Times reports that as many as 2,000 veterans were descending upon Standing Rock for a nonviolent intervention, siding with the Native Americans and others protesting the pipeline. I notice in all of this a particular emphasis on the nonviolence, particularly from the tribal officials who may or may not be speaking on behalf of the people. I have also heard confusing reports that tribal officials have asked everyone to go home, as if a happy ending to the whole situation has already been achieved. As if. I think it's fantastic that this particular situation has captured the world's attention, for whatever reason that this resistance to this pipeline at this place and at this time resonates with so many people. This feels like it has the kind of excitement that Occupy had, and I'm interested to see what happens next, as otherwise unlikely allies are mixing together in a common resistance. The most interesting addition to this mix is the introduction of veterans, who have experience in shooting and ducking and employing battle strategies. Too often, we anarchists of the anti-state Molotov-slinging variety write off veterans on the basis that veterans have served the hierarch pathology, rather than approaching them on the basis of their likely disillusionment. So, as a consequence, veterans most often gravitate toward the radical right, the teabaggers and militias and slightly veiled racist homophobes. So, the mixture at Standing Rock feels like it holds promise of new possibilities. In speaking with a friend of mine, he voiced concern that the situation could escalate to serious violence. My own concern is that it won't. That's not to say I want to see protesters or resistors killed by fascist state terrorists, but the fact of the matter is this pipeline is violence. It's part of a larger pattern of state violence, and even if protesters win this local battle, the pipeline will merely get diverted to pollute someone else's water, which is violence. So, violence is already a reality. The question is whether we who oppose state violence will employ effective oppositional violence. Also, to speak to the issue of fighting and dying, I'd like to point out that there are 7 billion of us on this planet, and on a long enough trajectory, we're all going to die. That's a fact. The questions that confront us are when we're going to die, sooner or later, and whether we're going to die for a good reason. Personally, if I had a choice to die sooner for a good reason, or live a long and meaningless life, I think I'd like to die sooner. Dying at Standing Rock, fighting the fascists, is as good a place as any. Sure beats what I'm doing now. Besides possible escalation to include killing cops, which I always find exciting, is a call-out for other diverse actions that I read about from It's Going Down. In a posting from November 26, there's a proposal for employing strategies popularized by the Stop Huntington Animal Cruelty campaign, including residential picketing, in-office disruptions, phone blockades, and other tactics against the corporations that are behind the pipeline. To quote at length from an article at It's Going Down, corporations have shareholders, investors, lenders, executives, boards of directors. These are tangible and specific individuals with their shared values, social statuses and networks, performative roles, and social, economic, and material vulnerabilities. Corporations often list some of this information publicly on their websites. People in power have home addresses, tax records, property assessment records, and are often very easy to find on people's search engines, such as Instant Checkmate, Pibble, White Pages, or Spokio. What matters to them? Where do they play golf, drink wine, or enjoy their yachts? What information can be exploited to create the siege needed to bring them into the fold and to get them to sever ties with DAPL? That's a nice quote promoting wholesome fun for the whole family. Such tactics are designed to make the investors feel fear, fear of being personally targeted, and fear that such targeting will drive down stock prices. The inclusion of escalating political violence and tactics that make government and corporate decision makers personally vulnerable are key, I think, to victory at Standing Rock and to resistance everywhere, whether to pipelines or to racist police violence, to warmongers or the prison industrial complex. As friends have said, to change everything, start anywhere. Standing Rock can be that anywhere, and where we are can be our Standing Rock. Never forget, the space you currently occupy is liberated territory. Defend it. This is anarchist prisoner Sean Swain from Warren Correctional in Lebanon, Ohio. If you're listening, you are the resistance.
You can write to Sean Swain at Sean Swain, 243-205, Warren CI, P.O. Box 120, 5787 State Route 63, Lebanon, Ohio, 45036. For updates on his situation, his bid for U.S. President in 2016, and more writings by Sean can be found at seanswain.org.